RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frank Stallone, Val, and
me, Mrs. Beans. That's a good one, Frank Stallone, Val.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Norm Macdonald again lately, and I think some of my favorite of his punchlines is his whole Frank Stallone bit.
Normie Norm Macdonald. He's actually on our side.
Oh, I love him.
I don't like him at all, actually.
You don't?
I can't do it.
Oh, I think he's one of the most brilliant comedians out there.
I don't know.
But either way, there is a lot of stuff going on this Friday morning.
Oh my gosh. We have so much to cover today. So I was listening to the Yovanovitch hearing, which began at 9, and I was listening to the opening statement read into the record by Devin Nunes. Do you know what happened, Frank? Do you know what happened?
I heard, is this the 2-minute clip that Methods to Madness shared? With the points of order and everybody.
No.
Okay.
We'll look at that though, because I see you shared that on Twitter.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Devin Nunes reading into the record the transcript of the very first call with Zelensky.
Fantastic.
Where,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's really, really, really damning, because you know why?
There's nothing in it.
President Trump in April agreed to meet with Ukraine's president-elect without preconditions in the first official phone call between the two leaders. Trump took the April 21st call with Zelensky while aboard Air Force One. That's why nobody was around to hear it. The conversation predated the highly controversial conversation between them on July 25th. The transcript of the call released today, much of which is formal congratulations. He invites Zelensky to the White House without any mention of investigations, as was the case on the July 25th phone call. It was just back and forth. Good luck. Congratulations. Please come see us, Zelensky says. Trump says, I'll send someone over. If it's not me, it'll be someone very high level. We're so excited that you took over, you know, that you were elected. It's such a great thing. In Yovanovitch's closed-door testimony, she and Schiff speculated with one another that on this first call, they must have been bashing her. And she's sitting up there now, basically almost in tears, about to have to testify to something that was just absolutely destroyed.
I did not see any of this.
The entire impeachment narrative was just shattered into smithereens literally 2 seconds before their witness takes their testimony. Schiff looked like he was going to shift his pants.
I missed all of this.
Yeah, I know. I know you did. I'm sorry. I'm trying to convey to you how it was.
Well, I mean, this is why I am the representative of the common man on this show. Because I miss a lot.
Yeah, well.
And this is great. I'm getting caught up.
Yeah.
Is it too soon? Well, how long was it? Is it like a 5-minute opening?
It was pretty long.
I got to watch this as soon as it's over.
Yeah. And I'm going to go to my tweeting post and tweet away. And just let everybody know, I will also be on with Joe Pags again today. So that's going to be fun.
Okay.
We have a lot to talk about today outside of what's going on right now as we speak. I sent a congratulatory message over to Dan Bongino, who today will be interviewing the president of the United States for his new weekly interview podcast.
He's going to be with President Trump?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And that, if it's done the way I think that Dan Bongino will do it, which I hope he does, will be an interview to remember. Because normally you've got like the legacy media talking heads interviewing him. Even Hannity does a good job, but he doesn't ask him the questions that all of us are wanting to know. And he has the knowledge of the Spygate scandal and stuff, but not like Dan does, you know?
Yeah.
So who knows what we might get out of Mr. Bongino today? And he actually just tweeted something I agree with. He said, where'd it go? It just disappeared. To sum up Marie Yovanovitch's testimony so far, she's mad because she got caught. That's all. Have a great day.
So, oh man. Okay, so now I really got to go watch it because this must be a fantastic display of body language at this point.
Yeah,
especially if Nunes did that.
Yeah, and she's basically in tears, literally. Like everyone's like, "Oh my God, she's going to start crying. She's going to start crying."
I love when bad people are on the verge of tears. Hold on. Come on, where is she? Oh, look at her. Oh, she looks like my sociology teachers in college.
Here we go. Let's listen to a bit.
How so?
I didn't know exactly. It's not, you know, a very precise phrase, but I think it didn't feel like I was.
Oh God.
I really don't know how to answer the question any further, except to say that it kind of felt like a vague threat, and so I wondered what that meant.
Great. Well, good. Listen, I don't even know what the hell's going on. That answer right there, that is an unsure person who is very, very worried to say anything definitive. Anything.
Yeah, because she's already perjured herself in her opening statement.
It felt like a vague threat. It wasn't even definitively a vague threat. It felt like a vague threat, and she didn't know what it meant. Wow. That sounds like me waking up in the middle of the night after a nightmare. And trying to put into words to Lauren what I just saw.
During her deposition on October 11th, Yovanovitch and Schiff speculated Trump and Zelensky bashed her during their phone call with each other. The call transcript shows that never happened. She is yet another disgruntled conspiracy-mongering bureaucrat. Even more, there's more. There's people that are breaking down her testimony in the closed hearing and comparing it against her opening statement today, and there she's already perjured herself. She's already done it.
Is she going to jail? I mean, we watched everybody take turns perjuring themselves with the Christine Ford Blasey crap.
I know.
How many layers of this stuff? The jail, you know, we actually should let go of all the marijuana offenders so we have some room for all the crooks in Washington. Everybody.
Speaking of that, let's segue real quick. We'll come back to this. It's going to dominate the show today. I have a bunch of clips to listen to from Wednesday, and we have to talk about them. But Daniel Babinski and I worked on him with this piece as well on Uncover DC. We just released this morning. There was a super PAC founded and funded solely by George Soros to the tune of about $1.1 million, right? And that $1 million was split, not evenly, but split between three of the Commonwealth attorney positions in a contiguous location in Virginia. $850,000 from George Soros to one of these attorneys in their election bid. This is $1 million between three Commonwealth attorneys whose goals are to not prosecute low-level crime at all.
Well, you know that he's also behind, what's his name, the new DA from San Francisco.
Yes, we talked about that the other day. Yeah.
Rob and I went through this last night too, because those three things, the three tenets that he talks about is making, you know, getting rid of bail. In New York, and they're doing it in New York City. Do you know about New York City, what they're doing in New York City?
No.
Tracy, this is unbelievable because it's being mirrored all over the place. San Francisco, I'm sure Virginia is going to be the same thing. But in New York City, Bill de Blasio, as part of that whole mirroring effect of getting rid of bail, the bail system, they're trying to incentivize people in different ways to come back for their court dates. One of the ways that they're incentivizing people is giving them Mets tickets and stuff like that.
What?
Yes. They're getting rid of the bail system. They're also getting and incentivizing people to come back to court by giving them tickets to Major League Baseball games and stuff. And they're also, of course, across the country, Soros is funding these DAs and these attorneys general to make sure that they're not looking at even like public urination anymore.
Yeah, none of it. None of it. Even petty, like little larceny cases and like little drug offenses, no matter what the drug. And like you just said, you know, these people that are being elected or being supported by progressivist causes or progressive people, they're saying they don't want bail is like an affront to underprivileged people who can't afford it. So there shouldn't be a bail system anymore. You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I found just absolutely stunning in this article is Steve Descano was one of them in Fairfax County. He got more than $600,000 from this PAC, which is called the Justice and Public Safety PAC. He had a challenger who was a Democrat, who literally left the Democrat Party after this happened. Think about that for a second. This was so, people were so up in arms in Virginia about these three. Extremist to the core. So now with a completely progressive legislature and a ridiculously horrible justice infrastructure, this is what Virginia is going to turn into. I shudder to think.
Well, you know, the other thing that ties into a episode you and I had done recently where we brought up the Weather Underground.
Yep.
And where all of those people ended up, you know, they all ended up teaching critical theory and finger painting at American colleges all over the place. The DA, the newly elected DA in San Francisco, is a child of two Weather Underground bomb makers or whatever the hell they are.
Who killed a police officer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this is you're just watching the progeny of the great apocalypse here.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of interviews over the past couple of days about Taylor because I did that piece a couple weeks ago about Taylor's connections to Soros. And it's obviously with Taylor here at the hearings the other day, it came back up again. And real quick, before we get into all that stuff, one more article that went up today on uncoverdc.com was by Celia Farber, who did that original coverage of the Planned Parenthood case that was ongoing. And okay. we just got yesterday the judge instructing the jury that he's already determined that they are guilty on trespass. So the journalists under fire here are being ruled guilty for trespassing into Planned Parenthood facilities to grab their undercover recording of the sale of baby parts to medical laboratories for use however they see fit. However, a lot of people were looking at this as like a really negative thing. How could a judge decide before a jury what the crime is? And like basically say, I found them guilty already. You don't have to worry about it. There were several hundred pages of jury instructions given out to these folks. But the judge said he was looking probably to fine them about $1 per incident. The Planned Parenthood was looking for $600 million from these folks. And The judge in the case is very pro-abortion. And He seems to be erring on the side of these defendants because what was uncovered and the way that they did it, really, it's not illegal. So I'll put that in the show notes for you guys. You can read the article.
Okay.
And also, if you saw, I don't know if you got a chance to watch, I shared yesterday, Ali Stuckney was in front of Congress testifying about abortion. And has 5 minutes of probably the best pro-life opening statement I've ever heard. It was masterfully well done. It was beautiful. So again, another thing for the show notes because we have so much to do. I can't even play it, which I wanted to.
There's just so much.
Don't mock me.
I'm just agreeing.
You're mocking me.
No, I'm agreeing. Okay. I'm just looking at everything else here too. I mean, even I woke up and actually I went to bed looking at all of this stuff with Rashida Tlaib.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, am I reading this correctly? Outside of her wanting to satisfy personal debts with campaign funds, because there is no rules. They're just ingratiating, self-indulgent assholes. Every last one of them. But am I reading this correctly that she too did a little. Inter-family marriage? She married an uncle?
What?
Where did I hear? When I read this, I was like, wait, am I looking at this? Is this Omar stuff with the brother marriage? I don't know if I'm reading the right thing, but I think
I read all about her the investigation that's ongoing into her. I did not see that she had married a relative, but that would be something, wouldn't it?
Wait, hold on. Here is there. Hold on, wait, Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib's ex This is from Big League Politics. Is that, let me see here. This is from 7 months ago, though.
Oh.
There's a few other things. I'm seeing them all. I've been searching this here. They're asking, is her ex-husband related to her mother? Her uncle explains she married a relative of her mother's.
God.
I don't know. I just wouldn't be surprised about any of this stuff. Any of it.
God.
But the campaign finance stuff is unbelievable.
Yeah. I need a loan, guys. I need money. I can't survive. It's just killing me, the expenses. I'm drowning. Help.
Sleep in your office.
Do what the rest of Americans do under your socialist policies.
Like, you remember when the months leading up to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez getting sworn in into office, she was complaining about how she doesn't have money for an apartment
clothes.
Or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sponsored by commies.
And now she's dancing next to drag aliens.
Yeah. They're not even – what is this? You know, I actually – I have a cousin who does drag shows. So I know all about drag, all right? But what is going on? It doesn't even look like men trying to look like women anymore.
No, they're dressing up androgynous alien-like.
It's very weird. It looks like Japanese cartoon porn stuff.
Yeah.
That weird stuff that shows up with alien tentacles.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
Weird.
Very weird. Very weird. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Let's get into these hearings from the other day, shall we?
Yeah, go ahead.
There were a couple things that I noticed right off the bat. Number one, every time the Democrats asked these two guys questions, they were very well prepared. They answered extensively, and they always began with, to the best of my recollection, to the best of my knowledge, giving themselves an out in case they were to be destroyed later on. Every time the Republicans asked them any questions where they were forced into a corner, what happened? I'm not here for any side. I'm just here to tell you what I know. Right. So what I thought was one of the most masterful bits of testimony yesterday or Wednesday was Mark Meadows. I keep doing that. Ratcliffe. Ratcliffe cornered these guys hardcore. You want to hear?
Yes, please.
And I thank you both for being here. It's obvious from your testimony today that you both care a great deal about U.S.-Ukraine relations. It's also very clear that you're optimistic about President Zelensky. Ambassador Taylor, you related one of his first acts in office was to remove immunity from deputies, which had long been a source of corruption. I know you had a number of personal dealings with him. Has he given you any reason to question his honesty or his integrity?
No, sir.
In your prior deposition, I asked you, and I'll read it directly, if nobody in the Ukrainian government is aware of a military hold at the time of the Trump-Zelensky call, then as a matter of law and as a matter of fact, there can be no quid pro quo based on military aid. And to your knowledge, nobody in the Ukrainian government was aware of the hold. Your answer was that is correct. Is that still your testimony?
Mr. Ratcliffe, at some point in September.
I'm talking about on July 25th.
July 25th. Sorry. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. They did not know this.
All right. And as it turns out, President Zelensky agreed with you. On October 10th, President Zelensky held a press marathon with over 300 reporters where he said repeatedly and consistently over hours and hours that he was not aware of a military hold during the July 25th call. In fact, in his official press release from the Ukrainian government available on his website that I'll be introducing into the record, he said, "Our phone conversation bears no relations to arms. They blocked the provision of military assistance prior to our telephone conversation, but the issue had not been discussed during our conversation. I mean, I didn't even know." So now, in addition to confirming that because he had no knowledge of it, there was no quid pro quo involving military aid during that call, President Zelensky went on to confirm a number of things, that there was no pressure, that there were no conditions, that there were no threats on military aid. There were no conditions or pressure to investigate Burisma or the 2016 election, that there was no blackmail, that there was no corruption of any kind during the July.
during the July call. There's more. Ready?
It got to Olga. Yeah, this is amazing.
Again, from his official press release. Therefore, there was no blackmail because it was not the subject of our conversation with the President of the United States. There were no conditions on the investigation, either because of arms or the situation around Burisma Company. He told Reuters there was no blackmail. He told the LA Times there was no pressure or blackmail from the United States. He told Japan's Kyoto News, I was never pressured and there were no conditions being imposed. He told ABC News and the BBC, I'm against corruption. This is not corruption. It was just a call. The Ukrainian president stood in front of the world press and repeatedly, consistently, over and over again, interview after interview, said he had no knowledge of military aid being withheld, meaning no quid pro quo, no pressure, no demands, no threats, no blackmail, nothing corrupt. And unlike the first 45 minutes that we heard from the Democrats today, that's not secondhand information. It's not hearsay. It's not what someone overheard Ambassador Sondland say. That was his direct testimony. Ambassador Taylor, do you have any evidence to assert that President Zelensky was lying to the world press when he said those things? Yes or no?
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can respond.
My time is short.
Your time
is short. Yes or no?
That's right. I have no reason to doubt what the president said in his...
Okay, very good. So in this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can just respond, let me just reiterate that
I've got 1 minute left.
I know you only got a minute left.
And then they argue with one another a bit.
It's amazing, especially to just the face of that William Taylor, another one who looks like a cast member from Ratatouille.
I know.
Another one. Like, they all have these marsupial faces, these rat faces, like they were congealed in a gutter somewhere. I just don't get it. I mean, and I understand that, you know, birds of a feather stick together. But is there ever going to be a point where somebody says, I don't know, listen, Adam, I want this guy gone as much as the next asshole that we know. But I can't put my name to this.
No, I know. They have no shame. They don't care. This is how these people will be remembered forever. And Ratcliffe destroyed the entire case in 5 minutes. Straight up.
I mean, I just don't know how many times a case, whether it be Russia or this or Stormy Daniels with the ridiculous notion that the sex scandal that nobody cared about, that they tried to turn into campaign finance reform, how all of these things can be destroyed every day from multiple angles. And it just doesn't stop. I mean, how many times are we going to dunk on these people? They're just the inflatable clown punching bags that don't stop. And it's only because they're enabled by the media. It's the only thing. So I love listening to it because I love hearing logic play out, and I love seeing you know, children get caught with their hands in the cookie jar. But on the other hand, I mean, what does perjury even mean? We haven't we've completely forgotten about the Kavanaugh hearings already.
Perjury is a lost charge. We don't prosecute it anymore for anyone except Roger Stone.
Yeah, that guy, he's another one that's getting piled up on.
Yeah, he had a rough go of this. This is really something, what happened to him. Bad news. But I wanted to show you guys some more. I wanted to show even you, Frank, in case you didn't listen. We've got Jim Jordan really, really going at it. Jim Jordan doing a fantastic job.
I heard his open, well, a pretty good summary statement of his. And where he went back to, well, this might be it. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, tell me what you were going to say. I'm interested.
No, I don't know. You know what? Honestly, I only watched out of the hours of whatever the hell was going on yesterday and probably more hours today. I was only able to stomach maybe 4 or 5 collective minutes of footage. Because what are you going to do? That's the real thing there, is the redundancy is just meant to wear people down. 5 hours of the same really shallow questions being drilled and really shallow questions being shattered afterwards. You know, so it's probably all the same thing, but I love listening to Jim Jordan rip it up.
Yeah, he did a really, really good job. I'm looking for it right here just to make sure that I have it. Real quick. Hold on. Bear with me because I lost it. I had it right here ready. I made a quote out of it because it was that important. Where'd it go? It was Jim Jordan questioning Taylor. And he gets him to admit at the end that he was basically just upset with the foreign policy decisions and what the withholding of that aid did to U.S.-Ukraine relations, even though they ended up getting it, even though they made clear that there is more aid being given to Ukraine now in the form of military weapons and money than ever before, even though all of that is true. You know what? I think it's this one. While I'm looking for it, here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Were you wrong when you said you had a clear understanding that President Zelensky had to commit to an investigation of Biden's before the aid got released, and the aid got released and he didn't commit to an investigation?
Mr. I was not wrong about what I told you, which is what I heard. That's all I've said. I've told you what I heard.
And that's the point. What you heard did not happen. It didn't happen. You had 3 meetings with the guy. He could have told you. He didn't announce he was going to do an investigation before the aid happened. It's not just could it have been wrong. The fact is it was wrong because it didn't happen. The whole point was you had a clear understanding that aid will not get released unless there's a commitment. Not maybe, not I think the aid might happen, and it's my hunch it's going to get released. You use clear language, clear understanding, and commitment. And those two things didn't happen, so you had to be wrong.
Mr. Jordan, the other thing that went on when that assistance was on hold is we shook the confidence of a close partner in our reliability. And that's
not what this proceeding is about, Ambassador Taylor.
Has expired. Ambassador,
that's not what this whole thing started on.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
That right there is the key to everything.
Yeah, it's the key to it pretty much is the embodiment of what the New York Times was saying back in February about the real reason why the Russia investigation got kicked off, that we should all be happy about, that the FBI was concerned at the change of direction of foreign policy with a new administration coming in, that an unelected group of people were upset with the new approach in the world that the American people voted for. Like, how is anybody supposed to listen to this man and go, I mean, even if you don't like President Trump, to hear somebody go, okay, well, this guy is, at least this guy is asserting his own will over the country. Thankfully, we approve of the will he's trying to assert. I mean, can't you see how that is dangerous, even if you are maybe benefiting from this charade right now politically? Do you really want to encourage people to do things like that? If it could hurt you one day, you really want that kind of a thing being a weapon that is approved of?
Not me.
Nope.
Before we go on, we have a really cool thing to talk about real quick. We have a new sponsor of the show.
Oh boy.
Super awesome. And I know this might even help you, Frank. To be honest, Cash Call Mortgage.
Oh, well, I would love to have a mortgage one day.
This is actually really cool. Thanks to our friends at Cash Call Mortgage for making the show possible today. If you guys are homeowners out there, which I sort of am, I guess. Are you a homeowner? Not yet, right?
Not yet. But I pay more. I pay so much rent. I might as well be paying a mortgage. I don't know what the hell Lauren and I are thinking about.
I feel you. I get it. Trust me. Trust me. I understand. If you guys had been lucky enough to buy a home within the past year or more than a year ago even, because of the Trump economy allowing you to have some cash, chances are you have equity in your home And with the help of Cash Call Mortgage, it can mean cash in your pocket. If you have an interest rate higher than 2.99%, they may be able to lower your monthly mortgage payment and get you guys cash you need for the upcoming holidays to remodel or just to keep in your pocket or your savings account. Cash Call Mortgage is a direct lender and can close your refi in as fast as 20 days, which is really quick, to be honest, because I refinanced and it took forever. And it was like, okay, all right. I'm reliving it, and
I'm hearing you. I'm hearing it, and I'm sitting here trying to imagine a day. See, and this is good. It's good to get introduced to new services that are probably going to be very useful in the coming years.
Refinancing my home in New York saved me for probably 3 years. Saved me completely. Saved me. If I hadn't have done it, I would have been in South Carolina a lot sooner. There's no upfront deposit necessary. And if you qualify, they even pay your closing costs, which can be really expensive. So that's fantastic. Mm. For a free quote to see if you guys qualify, visit cashcallmortgage.com/DTL. Again, go to cashcallmortgage.com/DTL. Impact Mortgage Corporation, DBA Cash Call Mortgage, NMLS ID 128231, Equal Housing Lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Offer not available in Washington. Sorry, Frank.
I know. I'm trapped.
Seriously, I knew exactly what I had to say, and I was all ready to say it, but I started thinking about when I refinanced. And the refinance was a savior, but getting there was just, it was, oh, God. Ate me up. They ate me up and spit me out like gross lard off of a piece of steak, New York did.
Well, you already know my thing. I'm excited for the future and maybe and having a home and building a family and all that stuff. I'm just not excited about the state of things in the country.
So you're listening to Cortez then?
No, well, no. It's one of those things where it's not so much about the climate and this and that. And do I want to bring a child into all of this? It's more so, well, what are we talking about here when the basic tenets of our existence over here, politically and otherwise, or just natural law, where you're talking about free speech and being able to express yourself, express ideas, work things out in persuasive, truly liberal ways, when that is up for discussion now and you have everything from financial institutions on down looking to destroy people for whatever. I mean, doing what you and I do is very controversial. I don't know how bad it's going to get, and to have all of your living, everything that you're making, tied up in these very shifty organizations that have wishy-washy, politics. It's very scary. You don't know.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something right now, coming from someone who's had two children, probably not in the best of positions financially to have them. If you wait, you'll never have kids.
Oh, I'm not waiting. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about even just getting a house. Like, it's, what happens if you wake up one day and all of a sudden you can't use your PayPal anymore, or they take away your Patreon and all the things that you work so hard for, just because you talk about things and you crack jokes in ways that those out there controlling the strings don't like. We talked about this before, the censorship and the deplatforming, the financial deplatforming, that can make somebody destitute overnight. You talk about a deterrent to make bigger decisions in life. Wow.
Yeah. 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 I know. I get it.
It even plays out with all these hearings that we're watching today. I saw that the opening state, one of the opening moments in today's hearings with Adam Schiff over there, you know, slamming his gavel down and shutting everybody up.
You want to play that or what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep going. I'll find it and pull it up.
Well, it's probably the last tweet that I put out.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm looking at that. I'm saying, these are the people. This is what is getting most of the play, even if it's not really predominant in the hearts of the average person in this country. This is what is being promoted, and this is what is, I don't know. It's some scary stuff. It makes you rethink everything. Definitely makes you think, if you do have kids already, where am I sending them to school? if if you are going to look for a new job, where am I going? To have to actually go and research the company's political culture.
Yeah, I know. Never before.
Yeah, because it's one thing to say, okay, well, it's not, you know, I can bring a discrimination suit against anybody. I could have gotten a job at a marketing company or something like that, that I know most of them are very, very progressive. But it's one thing to say, well, the law protects me from political discrimination. It's another thing to actually have to go to work every day and listen to people, you know, play out all of these things and you talk about it, and you have to feel like you are this pigeonholed, cornered, you know, black sheep wherever you go. There's so much they don't even understand that they've created so much crap they created.
Let's listen to their ringleader, Bug Eye Turd. I mean Schiff. I mean, oh gosh, hold on.
Memo, including documents from the office.
Come on,
Mr. Chairman. I have a parliamentary inquiry.
The gentlewoman is not recognized. I do want to comment, and
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order under HRES 660.
The gentleman will state her point of order.
The point of order is, will the chairman continue to prohibit witnesses from answering Republican questions as you've done in closed hearings and as you did this week when you interrupted our questions?
That is not a proper point of order. The gentleman will suspend.
Mr. Chairman, I have a.
The gentleman is not recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order.
The gentleman is not recognized.
I have a point of order, though.
The gentleman is not recognized. I do want to respond. I allowed the ranking member to.
Point of order.
The gentleman's not recognized.
Mr. Chairman, there are four transcripts that have not been released. The
gentleman is not recognized.
Yeah, that's his. That's your appeal. That's your appeals process. If you get your YouTube shut down, that's what the appeals process of getting your life back, whatever you created for yourself, taken away for one innocuous vague reason after another. That's what I. This is what I imagine the appeals process being like, if this mentality gets any more influential over everything.
It's
please let me make a living. Please. Not, you're not recognized.
Nope. Sorry. Nope. Zip it.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Like this.
Why not use your knowledge of the future to play the stock market? We could make trillions.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
A trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it. Zip.
Look,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstockings.
I love that movie. Listen, I gotta tell a personal story real quick.
Go, please.
I don't watch movies more than once. I can't do it. There are, two that I can watch more than once. This movie, Austin Powers, every time I watch it, I laugh as though it's the first time I've heard the joke. Every single time. Mr. Beans makes fun of me all the time. He says it's really cute because I laugh hysterically. Like, I've never heard it before. Like, when he falls down into the dungeon and he's like, my leg may be gangrenous.
I can't believe it. This movie is one of the only ones you can watch multiple times.
Yes.
Wow. I haven't even seen it in 10 years. I don't even know how it holds up.
Watch it again. It is fantastic.
No. Okay.
Anyway, that and 50 First Dates. I watched
50 First with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I love Adam Sandler.
That's
movies.
Sad.
I know it's terribly sad, and Will makes me watch it all the time.
I remember I went to go see 50 First Dates with my mother and my brother when it came out, because we said, okay, well, it's an Adam Sandler film. Let's go. And we're sitting there in some movie theater that's not even open anymore in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I remember saying to myself, okay, this is funny. Sean Astin is funny. There's funny things in there. And then I'm just, you know, as it goes on, you're like, oh, man, this is – yeah, it's a drag. It is. It's like, this is sad. I don't want to spend every day. You got to wake up and you got to no.
Yeah, that's how I feel watching these hearings every day.
Yeah, actually, it's
except
the same
I
thing. Yeah.
Except I remember it. Okay, so there's more. We've got more. The more is this. Here we go.
On July 18th, is that right?
That's when I first heard about it, Mr.
And then it's released, Ambassador Taylor, on September 11th. And we know that from your deposition in those 55 days that aid is delayed, you met with President Zelensky three times. The first one was July 26th, the day after the famous call now between President Trump and President Zelensky. President Zelensky meets with you, Ambassador Volker, and Ambassador Sondland. And again, according to your deposition, your testimony, there was no linkage of security assistance dollars to investigating Burisma or the Bidens. Second meeting is August 27th. Again, in this 55-day time frame, second meeting is August 27th. President Zelensky meets with you and Ambassador Bolton and others. And again, there's no linkage of dollars, security assistance dollars, to an investigation of the Bidens. Then, of course, the third meeting is September 5th. President Zelensky meets with you and Senators Johnson and Murphy. And once again, there is no linkage of security assistance dollars to an investigation of Burisma or the Bidens. Three meetings with the president of Ukraine, the new president, and no linkage. That's accurate?
Ms. Jordan, certainly accurate on the first two meetings, because to my knowledge, the Ukrainians were not aware of the hold on assistance until the 29th of August.
So the Politico article.
So they found out in the media. And the reason why I played this clip is because at another point in this hearing, Taylor says something to the effect of, it is my, like, he leaves open the possibility that President Trump didn't even know that the aid was being withheld, which he hasn't said yet, but I suspect may come out.
Wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised by anything at this point.
No, and, you know, those were some of the highlights. I have a few other ones in here, but I also have something interesting real quick. Well, you know what? I don't want to skip around too much here. This is 10 times that Devin Nunes ripped Adam Schiff as per the Washington Examiner.
In the blink of an eye, we're asked to simply forget about Democrats on this committee, falsely claiming they had more than circumstantial evidence of collusion between President Trump and Russians. We should forget about them reading fabrications of Trump-Russia collusion from the Steele dossier into the congressional record. We should also forget about them trying to obtain nude pictures of Trump from Russian pranksters who pretended to be Ukrainian officials.
We could just stop it there, because that in and of itself should be enough to completely discredit Adam Schiff.
Yeah, I brought that up the other night too, when I was listening to it was Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan kept bringing up how Adam Schiff is the only one who knows who the whistleblower is. Why is it that he's the only one out of 435 representatives in the House that knows who this whistleblower is? And he goes and he cuts in, Schiff does, and says,
I don't know who it is.
He doesn't know who it is. So how does one protect the identity of somebody
they don't know who it is?
And if that's the case, who does know who it is? So he's lying about everything. And it should make you go back and say, wow, yeah, this was the guy that throughout the entire length of that 3-year farce that was the Russia thing, no matter how every lead ended up to hit a brick wall, every date was wrong. And nothing panned out the way that these crooks said that it was going to be. He was the guy who was standing there saying, I have the smoking gun and I have proof. Oh, you can't wait. You wait until you see it. It wasn't there. I mean, I want to hit him. I just want to hit him.
His eye might pop out on your hand. You don't want to deal with that.
How can you just lie so blatantly and be the one picked to lead this crusade?
Well, that brings me actually very nicely into the next thing that I wanted to talk about today, which is strategy. So Nancy Pelosi came out yesterday, mocked a reporter for asking a really good question about why, you know, the president doesn't have his constitutional rights to confront his accuser. And she goes to the reporter, okay, Mr. Republican talking points. Not true. This reporter's not a Republican talking point guy. But long story short, she's getting very frustrated because, you know, someone from Breitbart who has lots of contacts on both sides of the aisle said that Democrats are really, really, really upset about this, that it's not going well for them at all. And they're kind of, you know, in trouble. And Ned Ryan was on Tucker last night. Ned Ryan, I really like Ned Ryan. I got to meet him. He's really cool. He was on Tucker last night talking about what this means and how. Let's just play it because it's masterful. I love it. The clip is great. It's a lot of clips today, I know, but.
How that might work. Ned, good to see you. So I'm beginning to think, and Tucker. I don't think it's just wishful thinking. I'm beginning to think that maybe this was a massive tactical error on the part of the Democrats. Tell us how it could play out in the Senate for them.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you, Tucker. They've wanted this. They've been pushing this. I think in many ways they've brought this upon themselves, and I'm not sure they really know what they've gotten into. Again, after yesterday's hearing, it was more a Festivus came early, an airing of grievances from those self-important bureaucrats. But if there is an impeachment vote, and I'm not convinced of that, Tucker, I'm not sure if there's more of what we saw yesterday that the Democrats will actually have the votes. But if it goes to the Senate, I think Mitch McConnell could wreak a lot of havoc on the Democratic 2020 presidential campaigns. He could make it go as long as he wants to. I don't think there will be a dismissal vote. I've talked with Senate offices today. There's not enough of them. There's swing state Republicans up in 2020 that are not going to vote for a quick dismissal, and they're not going to have a two-week trial. So Mitch McConnell might as well stretch it all the way into February 3rd for the Iowa caucuses, get all the senators off the campaign trail, bring them back to D.C., blow up their campaign schedules, blow up their campaign fundraising, wreak havoc on them. The thing that people have to understand, too, Tucker, the Senate can compel witnesses. So I would love to see the Trump defense team, if this goes to trial, call everyone, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, bring in Hillary, ask Hillary about the Steele dossier, call up Schiff, bring in Schiff's witnesses that he the witnesses that Schiff blocked in the House. Bring all of these people, swear them in, show it on national TV. But most importantly, give a fair trial to Trump and give him the due process that he has been denied for the last several years.
It'd be interesting to see if the Republican Senate is capable of that. You know, they'd have to want to stand up for themselves. But, you know, maybe they've changed. I don't know. We'll see. Yep, go ahead.
Well, it concerns me a little bit. I don't trust the Pierre Delectos in the Senate, but I will say this. People have to understand Mitch McConnell has two goals. He wants to be the longest-serving majority leader in Senate history, meaning he has to win next fall and he has to keep the majority.
Right.
And he wants to reshape the federal judiciary. And the only guy that's giving him the judges that he really, really wants, Donald Trump. He wants Trump to get through this because he needs him to keep the majority.
I think it's a very fair point.
Interesting, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's something in it for McConnell. Like, I would never trust him as far as I could throw him, but Ned makes a really good point in that McConnell has personal aspirations here that hinge upon whether or not he allows the impeachment of a president over absolute nonsense.
Yeah. Well, the removal of a president.
Well, right. The removal of a president. Sorry about that. I should have been more specific. Yeah.
Yeah, at that, because if it gets to him, he's or if it gets to Mitch McConnell, he's already been impeached.
Yeah.
So it's just... I don't know. I think it actually really, really still comes down to you're talking about Nancy Pelosi's frustration before. She has that frustration is coming from how hard this is and how it really this has become a quagmire that under other circumstances she probably would never really have wanted to even gone down, but they have no other choice with all of the heat that's coming down that's being breathed down their neck. Now,
Before we end the show today, we're going to talk about the IG report and it's coming. So,
So it really is just one of those things where you can tell that frustration is coming from the fact that this is really, really not a good situation for, her to have put her caucus in. And I think that, yeah, it'll be one of those situations that there is a legacy thing there for Mitch McConnell. He doesn't want to be the one to preside over the removal of a president, the actual successful removal of a president over something as ridiculous as this. But as far as Nancy Pelosi goes, and as far as impeachment goes, a real impeachment vote goes, how the hell does any Democrat, congressman or woman sitting in their office with any kind of moderate spirit left in them, looking at this from their desk, watching it go down, listening to the questions, listening to the shallowness of the entire ordeal getting blown apart on national television. And the only thing that's propping it up right now are these idiots, these parakeets in the media. How do they even put their names to an impeachment vote with 2020 coming up?
I don't know. It's you were talking about how, you know, it's a place to Pelosi putting her caucus in a certain place. Let's listen to one of the people that have been the most vocal about this nonsense and what she thinks about what this is doing to the Democrats.
And so while I believe personally, at the end of the day, we have to be able to come together as a caucus. And if it is this Ukrainian allegation that is what brings the caucus together, then I think we have to run with however we unify the House. And so while I believe personally that we should be pursuing and investigating quite flagrant abuses of the Emoluments Clause, even reporting as recently as these suspicious stops at Trump properties, even in congressional delegations or rather in foreign trips, I think that all of this is game for investigation. But we also need to move quite quickly because we're talking about the potential compromise of the 2020 elections. And so this is not just about something that has occurred. This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
Thank you. Thank you, AOC. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
She's dumb for actually putting that on out there. But you don't expect anything less. But the even stupider thing outside of admitting the obvious
is her thinking it's going to unite her caucus.
Exactly. That's the dumbest thing out of every dumb thing she just said. The stupidest of all was saying that this has a potential of uniting a caucus. What?
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I listen with you. Some people say you think that she's a Manchurian candidate for the GOP. I say,
going like this,
maybe.
I mean, really. And one more thing on impeachment here: we have Mark Meadows blasting the news media, standing right next to her, having a debate.
For the case you're making to be true, every single witness.
Well, the case I'm making is true.
For the case you're making to be true, every single witness who has testified, more than a dozen of them, would have to be either lying or mistaken.
That's not correct. Your characterization is so inherently wrong and biased. I can tell you.
They all said that they believe the Bidens were the focus of the presidency.
So let me ask you this. For the American people, how many hours have you been in sitting in these depositions? How many hours? I haven't seen you. You have not read all the transcripts. You've read I beg to differ because they haven't all been released. So there's no way that you've read them all. But I can tell you, your premise is not right. I've been in those depositions and I can tell you there's contradictory information. This president had not put any condition on the aid. And certainly when we talk about impeachment, why are we doing this? Why are we all here 11 months from an election? Why not let the American people decide? All of a sudden, what happened is the Mueller investigation didn't work. The Russia collusion didn't work. Now they're going to have Ukrainian 2.0. I'm just telling you, I see it for what it is. It is partisan and it is political. It has no basis in the in D.C.
I read them all. You read the ones they released that their paid off witnesses tell you what you want to hear in the cherry picked transcripts you've read.
Indeed.
Oh, Lord. Okay. We're going to switch to something a little bit more interesting, Frank.
Okay.
Did you see Gosar's tweets, Rep Gosar?
No.
Okay. Rep Gosar did a thread about the impeachment hearings, and the first letter of each tweet in the thread spelled out Epstein didn't kill himself.
Oh, I heard about that. I heard about someone writing a thread with that. I forgot the guy's name.
And then he did one that said Area 51.
Okay.
But here is why he did it. And I think it is absolutely masterful. Just the very beginning of this.
Answers we don't know.
Very beginning.
Sorry, we are proud to say joins us on the set tonight. I don't think you sent out 23 tweets in a row.
Yes.
Spelling in acrostic code, the first letter of each tweet spells out Epstein didn't kill himself. It made my day personally, but tell me why you did that.
Well, we wanted to have a different delivery mechanism and to a group of people that may not even be following what's going on with this fake inquiry, impeachment inquiry of the president.
Yes.
And it got the results that we wanted. It's now hit over 15 million looked at, and it's been passed on around the world. It's now global.
So why, as a member of Congress, did you think that was worth commenting upon?
Because we have to include people to find out how big of a hoax we're actually seeing right now. The Democrats put the president of the United States through. He did nothing wrong. And we were very poignant. Our 23 tweets itemized each different instance of fact.
Right.
Why he's not guilty.
Yes.
And so what this basically did is it showed, you know, what Area 51 and now this meme, Epstein didn't kill himself. It goes around the world and now people identify with it. And
Yes.
Genius. Genius.
Yes, indeed.
Genius. Yeah. And we'll close out. We'll close out now with one last thing, which will probably take us for a minute. Last night, Devlin Barrett. Devlin Barrett, same Devlin Barrett that received leaks from Andrew McCabe. Devlin Barrett of the Wall Street Journal, or used to be of the Wall Street Journal. Now he's Washington Post. He tweeted out, top secret for now. Justice Department watchdog won't let witnesses give written feedback on the long-awaited still classified report about FBI's Russia probe, sparking fears of inaccuracy.
Mm.
Now,
okay. Well,
that was reported and quickly corrected because the IG came out and said that's not true. I wonder how many people noticed that he came out and said that's not true.
I don't think anybody. First of all, I didn't even notice the entire thing. So,
you know, Frank, I'm glad that we do this show together 3 days a week.
Yeah, me too. Me too. because it's hard. I'm happy when I get to run outside in the backyard and rip off, like, you know, a couple dozen pull-ups and a couple dozen dips and things like that. I jump rope for about five collective minutes and gas myself out there. That's the only thing I come up to breathe during the day. I miss so much.
Guess what I did yesterday?
What?
Joined a gym.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you join does it come with any kind of like classes that are inclusive with the membership or something?
No, you know how I did it? And everybody should look into this. If you're looking to join a gym, go to your health insurance company. And I was able to join this program. There's like 10,000 gyms covered. It's $29 a month. And you can go to any one of the gyms that's on there.
What kind of franchises are included?
Oh, everything from local independently owned gyms to like major gyms.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty incredible. There's all kinds of other stuff that you can do there with like natural health and holistic stuff like acupuncture and all kinds of other things that aren't covered under your insurance policy. But if you go through your insurance to this company that they work with, you can purchase like subscriptions and stuff to them and use them however you want. It's really amazing. It's almost like they're acknowledging that natural health works because it keeps their bills down, right? But they can't acknowledge it under their plan because it kills big pharma.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's great that you joined in November, because if you can get a head start all throughout the holidays and blow past the New Year's resolution crowd, you'll already have a lot of momentum that people usually lose around February.
Yeah.
I always feel like it's such. So I know some people have the willpower just to say, well, January 2nd, I'm hitting the gym and I'm not going to stop working out until next Thanksgiving. And some people can do it. I, especially being a personal trainer for as long as I have been and working in gyms, I have been able to see armies of people show up who I've never seen on January 2nd. And by Valentine's Day, I never see them again. So if you start if you get your momentum now, you'll have a lot more reason to keep going than just some, you know, just something you're trying to hold yourself to after
The thing is this, I'm going because I really have a strong desire to go. So it's not going to be one of those cases. Like, it's not like, you know, oh, I got to go to the gym, you know, I'm excited about it. I want to get in there and get into shape. I'm not getting any younger. Got some medical stuff going on. Want to take care of myself, get in there. And, you know, I'm going to go with my sister and I told my sister I want to be like ripped by this time next year. We'll see what happens.
Ripped.
What is that thing that Dan sells?
Who?
Dan Bongino sells this stuff. It's this creatine ATP blend. I don't know what it is. I see a baseball bat.
This one is signed by This bat was signed by Nick Markakis. I don't even know how I got it. He's still playing. I think he's a Brave or something now, but I forgot who gave this to me.
Congratulations to DeGrom.
For what? He got
the Cy Young.
Cy Young? Yeah. Okay. We're at the end of the show. So let me just ask you this. The Mets cannot catch a break, Tracy. You had Joe Girardi, former Yankee manager, who was waiting on the Mets to make a decision before he signed anywhere else. They pass him up. He goes to Philadelphia. They sign Carlos Beltran. And now Beltran has been named along with Joey Cora to be the chief conspirators over there with the manager of the Houston Astros to start this sign stealing thing.
What?
The Astros were stealing signs using technology as far back as their championship year in 2017. And every day for the last 4 days, this has been getting worse and worse.
Oh, gosh.
And it's Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, and now the new manager of the Mets. Now, I don't know how that's going to play out for Beltran.
He was an outfielder.
Yeah, he was a player at the time. But still, I mean, I know that sports is just like several rungs underneath the importance level of what we cover every day, but this is pretty stunning. You got
to
look into this.
What they did to FIFA. I mean, not so unreal. Much, I guess. Oh, wow. I had no idea. Will's husband hasn't even mentioned it.
Oh, it's been remarkable.
I'm going to ask him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have been listening to the very packed Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frank Stallone Val and
me, Mrs. Beans. Thank our sponsor, Cash Call Mortgage. Let them help you out. Go to cashcall.com/DTL. cashcallmortgage.com/DTL. I'll be okay. You guys can hear us on TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and on radioinfluence.com. We will see you Monday.
Later.
This is a Jim Fannin Show Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
This week's episode is all about survival skills. I know that you prepare for your life to go right. So do I. I want my life to go right. I visualize every night. Never have a day you haven't already had. I see tomorrow the way I want it to be. I clearly see it. And you see the same thing. You see a bright future in the distance. However, sometimes things just don't go your way. You know, this desire for the best outcome, that can definitely conflict radically with reality. When our expectations, they don't meet reality, well, we all respond differently.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.